You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super honored and excited for today's next guest. I want to welcome Dean Graziosi to Making Bank.
Good to be back, brother.
Yeah, for sure to have you, and just super cool with all the amazing stuff you have going on right now and everything. And I know you have a new daughter?
No, a new son on the way. Okay. New son on the way. I got married last year, got a new house, launched two new businesses. Got a new office.
I know, this is amazing, dude. We're shooting in your studio.
Hired 70 new people in the last year. It's been a heck of a ride, man. Yeah. It's fun.
Well, I guess since you brought that there, how do you manage all that? Let's just start there. I mean, how are you able to do the creative, how run your business, be the best dad? Because I know you're always engaged with your other two kids.
Well, you
all
are
the time,
too, man. And I love seeing
that. I know that's why we have a good.
Yeah, we have a good bond
that.
Because of that, we like that dad thing a lot.
That's right, for sure.
You know, at night I just crawl up in a ball under my bed and cry. No, I'm kidding. Listen, something I adopted a long time ago, and it doesn't make it easier when you go through it, but if we want to change the world more, if we want to impact more lives, we want to be a better parent, want to be in better shape. I'm 51, having a baby. I better be in good shape. I promised my wife I'd go to 100 now, right? So I want to be in good shape. I want to be a good example for my team. I want to be a great partner to my buddy Tony Robbins and Brendan Burchard and people that I respect. I want to be a great partner. I want to be the best husband in the world. You know, I wasn't perfect in past relationships. Now I'm in the best relationship of my life, the love of my life, having a baby. We're 3 years in. We fall more in love every day. My businesses are growing. And I know when you look from the outside, it's like, wow, this guy's lucky in all those areas. It's not easy, right? And we all know that.
Right.
But here's one of the things, if I had to come up with a few, is I remember at a young age, I don't know if I discovered this or someone told me, you know, you forget over time.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, if I could solve bigger problems, I could get better results in life, right?
Right.
And I also know, and I heard this from Dave Kekich, is a guy that is combined to a wheelchair and had these Kekich credos.
Sure.
And he said, live the hard way now. Living the hard way now is easy. Living the easy way is hard. But I kind of adopted that at an early age. Now I'll get to how I create the enthusiasm and the energy to do it. But what keeps me driving forward, there's a few things. We could talk about a compelling future. Everybody needs that. But I know that some people aren't willing to solve the bigger problems. Like they'll solve, and get to a certain level and go, that looks too big, I'll stay here. They're not happy with staying there.
Right.
But they kind of coast because that next problem looks bigger. And here's what I've never shared this on camera. I don't think it this way, but here's what I've realized. The next level problems that you get to solve, they seem so big that you're like, God, I don't want to deal with that. And what I realize is they're not any harder to solve than the ones that you felt when you were 18 deciding, should I go to college or not? Or if your parents got divorced, or you started your first job and you wanted to grow, rise up through the ranks, or you wanted to start that new business, or your partner let you down, or your husband doesn't believe in you. The feeling is almost exactly the same.
Right.
But what I realized is the bigger problems I tackle, the bigger fears or obstacles in my way that I go after, it does something to your brain. I don't know how. I mean, listen, Jim Rohn has said it forever. Success leaves clues.
Sure.
Right? Tony Robbins says it, and the whole world says it. I think it came from Jim Rohn originally.
Originally, yeah. I think so.
But it's so true. So does solving problems. Like what we do, you just said that today, I got so many things going on. We got so many people for what Tony and I are going live on February 27th. We got thousands of people involved. I have to run my day to day with 70 people out there. I want to be creative. And when I'm here, I don't want to just be a robot and say the same thing. I want to deliver value.
Definitely.
You're watching us. There's a million things you can watch. If you're watching or listening, I want to deliver value. So how do you get all that? For me, I think what expanded my brain, navigated new territory. It's like having a map. And you wander off into the woods. It's scary as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you're in the Amazon and you wander off, you're like, oh, my God. But if you went there a couple times, what would you do? You would navigate that new territory, and you'd know your way through. And would it worry you at all anymore? No, you'd be like, I know how to get through there. Somebody new goes, oh, my God, look at those woods. I'm so scared. There's snakes. There's pits. Like, no, I've been through here. Yeah, I got bit. I fell in a ditch. Got beat up by, but now I know how to get through here. No problem. I just want to tell you, that's how it is in life. When you take on the thing you fear the most, when you handle bigger problems, when you face that obstacle head on and you go for it, could you fail? Absolutely. But if you keep going forward, you navigate that territory, and problems don't seem as heavy anymore.
Right.
You know, and I say this jokingly, but if I cut somebody off in traffic by accident, you know, I turn this way and don't see somebody in that blind spot, and the person flips me off and starts screaming, in my head I'm like, I feel bad. They need to solve bigger problems. Like, if I go to eat with someone and they order medium rare and it comes medium well, like, oh my God, a steak is brown, it should be this. If I order medium rare steak and they bring me chicken, I eat the chicken. Like, I have bigger problems to solve. Like, right. I don't want to waste any energy on anything like that. So the one ingredient, and then we could talk about enthusiasm. I just want to challenge you. Take on bigger stuff. Go at it, even if you're scared. I mean, courage is what moves you, right? Courage is jumping out of the plane and hoping your parachute opens. Confidence comes after you jumped out of a plane three or four times, and every time it opened. So the fourth time, you're messing with your friends, you're holding, you're standing out the plane like,
You got your selfie camera.
Yeah, you got your selfie camera.
You're jumping
the
out.
First time, you're like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, and the instructor's pushing your back. But it's courage to get out the door. It's courage to face problems. It's courage to tackle a bigger problem. Listen, with what Tony and I are doing, for example, we didn't say you want to do this little thing. It's like, no, there's a big problem.
Right.
The current education system is bad. Let's make self-education a new norm. Let's fix a broken system. That's a big problem. Scary. But I know if I get into that, I'm going to navigate that new territory. My courage will turn to confidence. And that's how I think I approach all of it. Like, you know, I went through a divorce. Like, not something that I would ever have wanted to do because I went through it as a kid. But I did. I was scared to death for my children, especially, not advocating divorce. But I was so scared. But when I went through it, I'm a better man on this side. I'm a damn good husband right now. And I don't think I was in the past. And I can admit that vulnerably. I'm a good husband who works on being a better husband. I interview men all the time that are great husbands and say, what is it? And I do the same thing with dads and parents, right? Same thing with business. Same thing with my health. I want to attack the thing that used to scare me. And I'm going to challenge you. Go after that fear. Go after that obstacle. Solve bigger problems. Your brain will get accustomed to it, and you will exponentially grow unlike anything you've ever seen.
No, I think that's awesome. And for me, that's one of the biggest things that I've done over the years is I had that fear factor in me. So it just, you go after it and just do it. And, you know, a little bit as you get older, you kind of think about like, oh wait, should I go do this?
Yeah.
And you feel yourself catching in that, but being able to push yourself through those hurdles and kind of get outside that normal comfortability, as you were talking about, like going into the jungle for the first time and everything, I think is a huge, and that's what allows you to push through to those next levels, as you were talking about, from here to here.
Right, because then when the carpet gets pulled out from underneath you, whether you're making $100,000 a year or $100 million or anywhere in between, you know, like, it feels bad. I still get scared. I still have that voice saying, you're not going to make it. That was dumb. Why the hell did you do that? You're not that smart. You know what I mean?
Right.
We all have that voice, but the other voice that's empowering is kind of a little bit stronger. But when you had the carpet pulled out from underneath you, instead of thinking like, why does things always go wrong for me? How come people don't believe in me? Why doesn't the partner stick next to me? What if it was God or the universe, whatever you believe in, pulling that rug out on purpose, because that builds the grit, the strength, the calluses. Because all I know is when I go through another failure, which I had a big thing hit me this week, out of the blue, you think, oh, you got it all dialed in. Bigger money, bigger revenue, bigger problems. And something huge hit me this week, out of the blue. It's already resolved, already passed. But here's the thing. When it happened, Josh, I hated it. I was sick to my stomach. Four nights ago, I didn't sleep all night. All night because I wanted to solve this. Even though it sucks, what I said to myself is, I've been here. I've been with difficult problems. And when I put all my energy on a solution, when I tackle this bigger problem, I'll be a better version of me on the other side. We could do this. Did it feel good? No. Did I get in peace and my chakras are aligned and I was harmonized? No. I felt like crap until I solved it.
Right.
But I knew I could solve it because I'd been there.
Sure.
And I'm just going to, again, I feel like I'm being redundant, but this is important. Push yourself. You want more, you got to push yourself. And here's the cool part. It's worth 100% of it. I wouldn't go back to a complacent life. If you wanted to, somebody said, I'll take away all your problems. You get X amount of money per year and you can live harmoniously. No way. That old saying, the little thing, you know, the little things are the big things. That old saying of life's a journey. It is. Why do people with lotto lose it and are miserable? Why with kids with trust funds, most of them kind of go down a really bad road in their life, right? Because they take away the journey. It's like, we want to grow, learn, fail, succeed. It's the ebb and flow. You don't know hot unless you know cold. You don't know tall unless you know short. You don't know abundance and happiness until you know the crap of the other side. So, you know, enjoy the journey, tackle the bigger problems, and then if you want to get to, you know, staying energized or focused, whatever you, I'm here to
serve. No, definitely. Yeah, I want to dive into those as well as what you and Tony are doing too here in a few minutes.
Sure.
What is that for you? What is that core thing that drives you every day? Because you have those problems and you go through that, but there's something behind all that. I mean, whether it's God, whether it's your family, your kids, whatever. What is that that's moving you through that?
Okay. So, great question, Josh. And we've had the chance to spend a lot of time together in masterminds and stuff. So, I could tell you the answer that comes to my head that I know is true, but then I can also tell you the answer that I probably have never shared before.
What's the one from the heart? Yeah.
So the one of the things, one of them, and if you're a therapist, you're probably going to say this might not be healthy. Okay, so I'm just going to prepare you for that. One of it is control and freedom, right? We know that.
Sure.
But as a kid, I moved around a million times. My parents were married 9 times each. I moved 20 times. Different parents, step-parents, sisters. I never felt in control.
Right.
So I'm obsessed with being in control of my life. Not a control freak. I don't think, Mike, am I a control freak? A little bit?
Maybe.
All right, just a little bit. Maybe. But I think I'm less of a control freak. Mike's been with me for like 14 years. Less of a control freak, but I'm in control of wanting to be the dad I want to be. At 3 o'clock, I get my kids half the time.
Sure.
So 3 o'clock today, I'll be waiting outside of their school. And I can't have anything take that away. I coach Little League, softball. Last night I went home at 3. We played wiffle ball. We played bump out. And then we played life. And then we watched Key and Peele for like a half hour. Like, I don't want anybody to tell me I can't do that. I want to be able to do the things I want to do with my wife to build this incredible relationship. If I want to take off in the summer. I am so afraid of not being in control of my life because I watch my parents be in control of money controlled them. Bosses controlled them, time controlled them, and it scares me. So if I was going to do the politically correct, I'd say, I know what success means to me, being the dad I want to be, when I want to be it, being in control of my time. There's very few things that I do in life, Josh. I say no to mostly everything at this point.
Right.
I say no to wearing pretty much anything but 2 different shirts. I have 50 of them in my closet.
That's not the way I am.
I say no to, I don't go to fancy parties. I just got offered a box, a suite with some famous celebrities at the Oscars and said, please come. Like, it means nothing to me, right? And I'm not knocking it. I don't go to fundraisers. I send lots of money. We just passed 6 million meals provided through Feeding America. Lots of money, but I don't do the fancy things with the boat. I don't even own a suit right now. The only suit I own is the one I got married in. But what's important to me is being with my kids,
right?
Being with my wife, being a great team leader to these guys, because I love these guys. They've worked their asses off for me for a long time to create what we've done and to impact people's lives. If it falls out of that, man, I'm not really doing it. But that also drives me.
Right.
So that's like the politically correct and honest answer. The second part is I have a compelling future. I know where I want to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Most people don't. And I'm pulled towards it. Like, I want to make, and we'll talk more about that, what I'm doing with Tony, self-education saved my life. It saved Tony's. If he didn't meet Jim Rohn, where would he be? If I didn't meet Tony, where would I be, right? College wasn't for me. I didn't have money. I couldn't learn through trial and error. I found self-education changed my life. And we're going into this new phase of life where the world's realizing that. IBM, Google, Facebook, YouTube, they're hiring people with no degrees as long as they have self-education, right? And I have a big, when it comes to business, audacious goal of that in 5 to 10 years, when you go to a job interview or going to partner, you're going to start something new, somebody doesn't say, where did you go to college? Like, oh yeah, that's great, you went to college, Josh, but where did you get your self-education? That's my goal, right? So that gets my ass out of bed every day to fight, because that's a lot of work to do.
Oh yeah.
Right, for the last 100 years, it's like high school, college, go in debt, hope to get a job. Like, I want to change that.
Sure.
Right? But if you want to know what really still drives me, this is the part I've never shared before, and I don't know how to get rid of this, I still play. If you watched our launch last year, our live training, it was the biggest online training in the history of the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you watched me, I worked like I was 10 points down. Like, do you ever watch, like, I've been flying all over the country doing podcasts, working up at night, writing copy, helping, like, taking the course, the training, the blueprint, what we're going to teach live. We're going live again on February 27th, working our tails off. I am literally playing like I haven't been in business for 30 years. Like I don't, I'm financially good. I could just shut the door. I'm good.
Anything, yeah.
But I don't play that way. And everybody always asks me, and I always say, because I'm driven, which is true. I want to change lives. Absolutely true. But deep down, and I realized it this week, because I'm like, I'm hustling right now.
And I everybody caught you right in the middle of it all.
Yeah, it's no, like... like my buddy Brendan just called me yesterday. He goes, dude, how do you have this drive? Like, what's pushing you? And I have to tell you, I'm still that broke kid on the inside. Mm. I still have a deep fear of not being in control and being broke.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Legit, it lives in me. I hide it. I mask it. I've found a way to be not true. But deep down, and I don't know if I've ever shared that on camera. I'm afraid.
Feel that every day.
Yeah, I'm not coming through for my team, not coming through for the world, not right. coming through for my family. And man, that pushes me. Now that's the like probably something you shouldn't leave in there, but that pushes me when I'm going through a tough time.
Right.
When things aren't tough, it's all the other things I share.
Definitely. I think, you know, when people are hearing this and watching this, you know, they're gonna have, they might not have that specific thing, but they're gonna have that in there and like, oh wait, I can actually use this to drive me.
I was just going to say, so what is that saying, right? It's like, I'm going to use a silly water bottle if you're watching, but if not, it's like when they say with a rocket, just to get the rocket up, I don't know, what is it, 100 feet? I don't know the exact stat. It takes like 70%
of the fuel. Energy.
Yeah. And then when it's out in space, it hardly uses anything, right?
Yeah.
For me, if I was going to say, how did my long-ass story translate to you, is if you're in pain, right? We do everything to move away from pain or move towards pleasure. That's the human, right? If there's something that disturbs you, me being broke as a kid and watching everybody struggle disturbed me. I use that. My first muse, my first goal was to retire my mom. She worked her butt off, three jobs to have nothing, and her hands hurt and her back hurt from cleaning houses and all. So I use that pain. I didn't go, I'm blessed, I get it, I have to let my past go. No, I amped it up and it was painful and scary, and that was like getting the rocket off the ground. You don't want to live in that pain forever, but if it gets the rocket off the ground, it gets you momentum towards scaling your business or starting your business, then use it. And if you say, yeah, I'm not really in pain, life's okay, then you're somebody, if you're watching Josh, you want somebody that wants more pleasure. So then decide, I want that house, I want that freedom, I want to retire my husband, I want to retire my wife, make sure my parents have money so I have to work when they're older. Desire and crave that pleasure so much that it disturbs you for not making it happen. So you're right on target. It's like, I don't think people amplify the pain.
Right.
Or amplify the pleasure as much. Like, you got to cut, you want to recognize, like smash it, smack it, like feel the pain of being 5 years from today and nothing's different. Feel the pain of at the end of your life, if you get to meet your maker and you're sitting with him, he says, hey Josh, how was your life? That was good. Well, what do you mean good? What happened, Josh? Well, you know, I was gonna go for it. I felt like I had more to give, but you know, my wife was really wondering, or I was, you know, we had this crazy president at the time, or I didn't have the money, right?
Yeah.
I think your maker would be like, oh, another one. Josh, I made you human. I put you on earth. I gave you free will. I gave you a brain. You had limitless opportunity, but I failed. Yes, I did that on purpose to see if you were worth it. Oh, really? Oh, damn. Can I go back? No, sorry. You're going this way. Like, think of those things. Think of whatever it takes to disturb you to action, because the only way you'll know how to win, the only way you'll build the confidence is have the courage to get in the game. Because if not, you end up in the sidelines, you know, in the stands wearing someone else's jersey.
For sure. And that was what you mentioned too, is, I mean, I think we can also utilize that to push us and drive us to that next level even.
Of course.
What we were talking about earlier.
Right, because sometimes the thoughts that got you out of Egypt aren't the ones that take you to the promised land, right? You need to upgrade your thinking, upgrade the problems you handle, upgrade your compelling future, upgrade what you want to change. I'm always upgrading my goals. I'm always like, I check them out and then I push them out in front of me and I go after them. When I get them, I recognize it and keep pushing it out.
And one of the things we were talking a little bit about earlier was like focus and energy a little bit. What, obviously running, you know, 70 plus people company and everything else, how do you figure out this is what I'm focusing on? This is what's important right now, right this minute, and giving that 100% of your time and energy.
Yeah. So I want to tell you, I really have to work hard on my gift to this company, right? Operations isn't my thing, but I have to oversee it. I'm the CEO of this company. I have great people that work for me, but I still have to oversee the operations. But I worked really hard to put systems in place so I can check in with them. As we're growing right now, I'm checking in more. But I know on my side, I love creating things that change people's lives. I love writing the books. I love being on video. I love making the impact. So I have to live in my unique ability, because if I get sucked into operations too much, then I'm not here living authentically and trying to help everybody watch it.
For sure.
Right? I come here as a business guy that's kind of tight and positive thinking and you're good, right? So I have to balance like art and science.
Sure.
Right? So I would say figure out what your unique abilities, your core competencies. What allows you, when you work in it, you can get in flow and it moves the needle the most in your company. For me, what moves the needle, it's not creating SOPs and understanding the KPIs and understanding metrics and how to hire and human resources. For me, it's what's the next level? Where is our world going? Right? With Tony and I, the world's shifting into self-education.
Right.
We want to give people the blueprint to enter that industry heading to $1 billion a year. So I'm way out here thinking, what's the world going to be like in 10 years? And how, with this wave coming in, how can I be the only surfer in front of the wave where it's pushing them and all the other surfers are trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Right? So that's my innovation. I'm an innovator. I'm a visionary. So I need to dedicate enough time. I just told my team, you have too many appointments for me. I'm not in my thinking space.
Right.
So just so you know, I was like, little, I was a little bitchy 10 minutes ago. I said, and not about today. I looked at my next 2 week schedule. I'm like, guys, you don't have one day in there for me to be creative. That's not how I roll, right? I love being creative here, but it's not moving the needle.
Right.
So I need my creative time, my innovation time. Innovation and marketing is the fuel of every company that exists in the world, every successful company. You can operations it to death. Without innovation and marketing, you don't grow. So I'm the leader in innovation and marketing,
okay.
And I need that time. So I compartmentalize, that's a hard word for me to say, and I make sure I fit in that creative time. But there's other people, if you read Traction or Rocket Fuel, that are the integrators, the implementers.
Sure.
They need to make sure they're spending the time on creating the standing operating procedures, watching the KPIs, making sure there's a system that is replicated.
Right.
And if that's what you're good at, spend the time there. Hire somebody on the creative side, right? Or partner with someone on the creative side. And that's just how it works. And then with all that said, still, you get sucked into things that just happen. This goes wrong. You get an email. It's like, my whole day got wasted solving this problem.
Right.
Those
it
things happen.
It distracts you from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again... it's a juggle, of course. And I got up at 4:30 this morning to work out. I made my kids lunch today at 6:15. I made their favorite turkey sandwiches this morning. I drove my kids to school this morning because I like the conversation we have on the way there. Like, you know, I did all that and then I raced and had two meetings and I came here. It's a juggle and it's worth every bit of it. I wouldn't change anything.
That's cool. And that's one of the things that I think you said while... you were talking about focus. I mean, is you know, hey, this is the areas that I excel at, and then make sure you have time and space for it.
Yes,
because I think a lot of times as CEOs or entrepreneurs, I mean, we get sucked into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
And then the craft that got you there starts to dilute, right? You're great on camera because you care so much about people, but now you're growing your company and trying to decide, and you get on camera and you're not that same person. You don't understand why things are going, why is viewership going down? Why are sales going down while I'm trying to grow this company? It's because you're trying to work on something that might not be your unique ability. And one of the things I'm always an advocate for is figure out what you're good at and get amazing at it. Figure out the things you suck at and let someone else do it.
So I want to dive into a little bit about self-education.
Yeah.
So it's super cool because it hits with me. We homeschool all of our kids.
Oh, I love it.
They've actually gone through all your course and everything.
Great.
So I'm familiar with the whole self-education and creating a different type of learning model for them. And I think, as you said, that over the next, where is it going to be in 10 years? And that's what my kids are always like, oh, you know, where's college going to be at in 10 years? And I go, I think it's going to be what you're doing right now. You know, just did a different
I think
level.
A lot of colleges will be Amazon fulfillment centers because they'll be empty and they need to they need to sell them and have a place for distribution.
So I guess let's dive into a little about
what
you and Tony are doing, how you guys are changing the education model as it is now, and
Listen, if you want to go to another level, start a business, learn, go faster. There's three ways, right? There's the traditional education system, general knowledge.
Sure.
There's trial and error, and then there's self-education. And self-education, to a lot of people, like, well, I don't even understand what that is. I didn't.
Right.
In my 20s, I didn't even know that existed.
Sure.
Self-education is the path of learning from other people who've already done it. When people say, give me a quick example of self-education. I said, okay, Josh, you're 47, you said?
Oh, yeah, 47, yep.
Soon or?
Basically, yeah, like 5 days.
Oh, happy birthday in advance. What would it be worth to you to go back and spend a day with your 25-year-old self?
I mean, I think it would be huge.
Right?
Yeah.
That where you could say, hey, don't do this, do this. Like,
sure.
You can condense the last 20 years, condense 20 years into a day, and how much further ahead do you think you'd be today if you got that opportunity? And that's what self-education is. What people are realizing is instead of learning general knowledge from a teacher in a classroom, who in most cases, I'm not being rude, just never did it. They just teach it.
Right.
And there's a whole generation who's left college now. The millennials have left college. They have debt and don't know what to do with themselves. Right? And they're not making the impact that they want because the world is growing so exponentially fast and college is growing like this, except for college wages are 8 times faster, or college costs are 8 times faster than wages. Right? So college is like just not working. They just didn't keep up.
Sure.
Right? The world is evolving.
It was made for a certain
Our iPhones. 20 years ago, none of this existed. Look what we have today technology-wise when college is still the same classroom, same books, same teachers, teaching the same stuff. So there's traditional college, and then there's trial and error. Trial and error is probably one of the most difficult ways for so many people because you fail so much and you're trying to figure it out while you're trying to pay the bills, while you're trying to keep things afloat. And what that does, trial and error, a lot of times it makes people go back and just say, I'm going to settle for this life here.
Right.
I tried it. I stepped off the path. I got bit. I don't want to get bit anymore. I'm just going to stay there. And then when people are 60, 70, 80, they're like, damn it. Why didn't I go after it? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then there's this other path, which is self-education. You just said if you could go back, if I go back to my 20-year-old self, oh, my God, I'd probably give all the money I have. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
make quick changes.
Right. And that's self-education. What the world is realizing is that going to back to college or the college that they already got, it's general knowledge. Like Napoleon Hill said in 1937, general knowledge, no matter how big, how vast, how much you get, will never relate to income or exponential income. You need specialized knowledge going deep. So they're like, that didn't work, or I don't want to go back. Trial and error takes forever. Man, if I want to learn what you do, Josh, I'd rather cut you a check. You condense what you know, give it to me in a weekend, and get self-education.
Right.
And that was something Tony Robbins did started 42 years ago. Jim Rohn, 60 years ago.
Sure.
Napoleon Hill, forever. But it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool when I started 25 years ago. There was a group of people, but now there's this industry that grown from nothing to $455 million a day.
Wow.
And Forbes says it's going to $1 billion a day. That the world is going, no, no, yes, self-education. And what the world needs is you listening, watching right now, to extract what you know and share it with people to go faster. Because the fact of the matter is, no matter what you know, if you went through a troubled divorce and you came on the other side and you're strong, somebody's starting on their divorce day one and would love to pay to know how to go through that. But if you know marketing, sales, hair cutting, you know, painting with alligators, one of our niches, it's crazy. Like every niche you could possibly imagine, if you have experience, people are saying, I want that from you. So what Tony and I want to do, how do we fix a broken education system, give an alternative, and make self-education the new norm is, let's take, Tony and I have been in this 60 years, let's take what we know, extract it, and give people a blueprint to go, oh, wow, that's what I am good at. Oh, this is who I can share it to.
Sure.
This is how I can do it. I can do it through a Zoom call. Wow, I can do that in 2 weeks from now. How to run it, how to impact lives, how to get paid, and how to enter this exploding industry. I mean, we all want to be in an industry going up.
Right.
From nothing to 455 million to a billion a day, that's an exploding industry.
Oh,
like, you don't want to invest in taxi cabs.
That's where you get the hockey stick.
And then the other thing is we fix a big problem. If you look at any industry that explodes, it's a big problem. Someone needs to fix it.
Right.
Collectively, Tony, we can fix this. And we went live last year. We had 200,000 people show up. It became a damn movement. We had over 24,000 people strong, 80 countries, every niche possible, anything you could imagine. People didn't realize they were good at something. Like, oh yeah, I figured that out. Oh my God, people need that. And they have the opportunity to put people in a room or put people on a Skype or a Zoom call. And we just gave them the process, and it's been amazing. It's become a mission. It's become a movement all over the world. And what's really cool is February 27th, we're going live again. We're only going live once a year.
Right.
So pretty stoked about it. And we are, believe me, running and gunning to get this up and ready.
And so how do you guys see, so you guys are providing a platform then to help people extract their knowledge and then put it out there, whether it's through video, whether it's through group settings,
Yeah, exactly.
or whatever
it's
may be.
Building a community, building a group. We have people just doing monthly Zoom calls with 50 people on, learning how to, you know, take care of animals better. Like, it's everything you could possibly imagine, because people are saying, I want to go faster. What the world is really realizing is something that you realized at a young age. I know you've been in some of my masterminds.
Sure.
You cut checks to go faster.
Right.
I've spent over $1 million putting them on or being in masterminds. I've gone to over 300 days of masterminds. Like, they've changed my life more than anything.
For sure.
So what people are realizing is, I could learn through my own trial and error, which is costly and time consuming. I could spend another $50,000 and go back to school, and who knows what that'll do.
Right.
Or I can go spend a weekend with someone who's already done it. A non-professional teacher who's actually doing it, who's willing to extract and share what they know. That's really what it boils down to. So we wanted to create the gold standard platform, because a lot of people are trying it and didn't know how to do it.
Right.
We wanted to give them the blueprint. We wanted to realize there's a niche for everybody. We wanted to extract their superpower. And then, you know, listen, what Tony does, there's nobody better in the world.
Right.
Like, we can all agree. Nobody better at mindset. When it comes to marketing, there's not many people better than me. So we combined and gave all these pieces.
Awesome.
And if you look at the magic of what we created, and I'll just, any other questions you have, but I'll sum it
for
up
sure.
here. Why I believe it came so magical is because we have 60 years of experience. We know what people need. And these are the three components I believe everybody needs for success, or things that make sense. Because you probably read books, bought courses, and things not work. You need the right mindset. There's nobody better. And Tony delivers in the first part of the training, give you a mindset where you could like chew through this metal table. Like, you're vibrating. I watched him film all these, and while I'm like, right, I was writing so many notes.
Great, yeah.
It's amazing. Like, he's sitting right, he's been my buddy for 10 years, and while he's there, I'm almost embarrassed, because I'm like writing. So he gets you in the right mindset. Mm. Then the second part is the tactics, the framework. How does it work?
Right.
How do you figure out what you're good at? How do you decide what to teach? All right, use our tools. I'll use these tools. I'll do a half a day Zoom call. All right, how do I identify the ideal client? How do I market to them? How do I run it? How do I get paid? How do I do it again? Then that's the best course that's ever existed. But then the last part is the implementation. We need mindset.
Okay, for sure.
We need the tactics. Then we need to go do it.
Right.
So that's why we built a software that allows you to get fired up, learn it, and put it in play, hit send, and start impacting lives.
Awesome.
And it's that trifecta that I really believe is why this thing's gone so crazy.
For sure. And that's a great piece to have. And then with that, and I know there's probably some people that are watching, they're like, man, but I just don't really know if I have that knowledge to extract.
Yeah.
You know, what, and I've been through the software, so that's why I'm...
The cool part is, Tony started by being a reporter of Jim Rohn's stuff.
Sure.
Right? So he didn't feel like the expert. He finds Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn fires him up, changes his life. He's like, I want to do this. And so what happened to me? Tony got my money. Within 2 years, I was on an infomercial doing my own, because it's like, Tony took my money and changed my life. I want to be in that business, right? Jim Rohn took Tony's money, changed his life. Tony's like, I want to be in this business.
For sure.
But I'm an 18-year-old kid. What the hell do I know? So what Tony started was being the reporter of Jim Rohn's knowledge.
Okay.
And he reported on it so much, and then he ran into Wayne Dyer and this one and that one. He started collecting this, and he ran into a great salesperson, and he collected that. All of a sudden, Tony was reporting on that, but he taught it so much that he became the expert.
Sure.
Right? And it's the same thing with so many people, right? We report on something until we become good at it. So if there's a niche that fires you up, then obsess on it. Learn that niche, because someone else isn't willing to read the books, go to the seminars, get the knowledge, and share it with you. You know, I always say, it's like, I'll give this last example. If you wanted to learn how to be in the wedding photography business, and I told you I'm going to give you a course, a training, a system to do it and make $200,000 a year, make it easy and... have beautiful pictures and know everything. Would you like to spend a weekend with me? But I just want to tell you, I've never been in the wedding business. I don't even own a camera. You'd be like, that's dumb. I'm not going to pay you for that. Why would you even say that? But what about this? What if I said, I'm not in the industry. I don't own a camera, but I found the 10 top wedding photographers in America. And I was able to get them on a call and interview each of them and extract how they did it. And I got 10 of their best tips from each of them. I correlated that information, and I found the 10 best tips from the 10 best wedding photographers in America, how they got to $200,000, how they make beautiful pages, how they make brides happy, and how they replicate themselves. Would you want that information now? I'm still not the wedding photographer specialist, but I'm the reporter of the best of the best.
Information.
That's how Tony wrote Money Master the Game.
Right?
He interviewed the top guys. So the other option is being the reporter of other people's wisdom, share it, still make an impact, and get paid.
Awesome. I know we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
What if you lost everything, had to start all over, just it was just you and you just had your family there, what would you do? Like, where would you start again from?
True story, I would conduct a mastermind within 3 weeks, and I would tell everybody how I made it and failed and what not to do to fail. I mean, just ask you a question. If you know my, you know what my brand's done, over 13 companies, millions of books, I'm blessed beyond belief.
Right.
If something went wrong tomorrow and I lost all my money, and 6 months from now, I ran a mastermind for 50 grand to come to my house, and I'm going to tell you how I went from zero, over a billion in sales of my products and companies and brands, lost it, and I want to show you how that could never happen to you. Would you come for 50 grand?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I would do.
Because, yeah, now then, hey, I don't want to do those same things.
Exactly. I want to condense your success. I want to take what you did good,
right,
and I want to never do how you screwed that up, Dean.
Definitely.
Right? And that's what the world is doing. And it doesn't have to be on a $50,000 level. If you're a year into sales, there's somebody starting day one. What would they pay to not waste a whole year when you can condense that into a weekend? Every level, every niche, every person has something to give the world. And I hope you put it on your calendar. It's February 27th. Put it on your calendar and join us. If there's anything I said today that resonates with you, if you know Tony Robbins, if you know how he delivers on a massive scale, he only goes live once a year. We rocked the house last year.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do it again, and we're pretty excited. I know our team put a link together, joshslink.com. You can go to that page, register, reserve your spot. But here's the thing. I'm betting most of you are going to show register right now, but you got to show up. It's live. Like, literally, you go the next day. You don't get a chance to be a part of this. Learn it from the best, and see if it should be a part of your life.
Awesome. Dean, it was such an honor to have you guys back on Making Bank again
you're
today.
Awesome, dude.
I hope you guys were really taking notes. If not, rewind, watch, listen to this again. Listen to what Dean's saying and take down this information. We dove into a lot of different areas today that are going to help you excel in your personal life as well as your entrepreneurship in your business and everything that you have going on. So again, rewind, watch, listen to this again, and make sure you go get registered. This will help you take the next step in breaking through those plateaus and hitting that next level that Dean talked about in the early part on of this interview. And so get after it, get going, and do it today. So Dean, thank you again for coming on Making Bank, my friend.
And thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. I know you got a lot of choices. Take what serves you from today. Throw the rest of the way, but what does serve you, put it in play.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.